Super Bowl weekend has arrived. Big screens and buffalo wings, burgers with bacon stuffed with bacon, free-flowing beer. This is the Sports Bar Fan Cave. This Sunday, rent yourself a Jumbotron and draw a crowd. But you've got venue competition. That's right, it's not just sports bars. One of you in Tampa, Florida, I will be watching the Super Bowl from a hot tub in a nudist resort near Tampa while the game is projected on a large screen by the pool. Well, isn't that special? In Riverside, California, one of you is attending a house party at a friend's, but I'm more interested in the commercials, you say.
Hi, this is Nada from Vancouver, Washington. Great place to watch the Super Bowl is at the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. Huge screen, no distractions. Great place to go.
In Seattle this weekend, you've got the highest concentration of hipsters, Jimi Hendrix wannabes, tech billionaires, and Seahawks fans. Where can you find a crowd? Joining me is Joshua McNichols, reporter for KUOW in Seattle. Welcome, Joshua.
Thank you.
So, Josh, let me just ask you right off the bat, where is this person who's obviously a fan speaking from?
We're going to come out with a victory at the end.
Where did you find him?
He was at the library. He's watching the game on this giant TV at the library where, you know, homeless people and students and business people and families with kids are all sort of together in one space enjoying this big cultural experience.
And this has not been going on for terribly long. Is it Seahawks success that's really motivated this new open doors policy?
Well, that's a big part of it. But also, you know, the libraries are in this big conversation about what to become in the digital age. And they want to provide access for everybody to these sort of shared cultural experiences. Watching a football game is one of them. I mean, why should people be excluded because they don't have cable or something?
Well, Valerie Wonder, who organizes events at the Seattle Public Library, says that this is really making her dream come true here.
And I have never seen the range of ages and ethnicities and socioeconomic levels that I see when we do the sporting events.
Sounds like a sports bar there in the library. What's it like to see?
Well, there's like 250 people, and it's amazing to share that experience with everyone cheering around you. It's this crazy, diverse crowd of all different kinds of people. One of the guys I talked to is like this conservative evangelical, and another person is an advocate for low-income housing, and they're all together in this one space.
Here's Graham Taylor, who's someone who watched at the game that you observed.
Yeah, I'm homeless, so, you know, that's why I'm here. But I'm glad they opened it up for all people like us, you know. So, yeah, give us a chance to enjoy a game, too. So,
and it's not just homeless people who are at the library. What do you think that says?
Well, I think that libraries have this sort of unique brand, and it's about we're going to be about providing access to these cultural conversations without judgment. You know, why should anybody be excluded from that kind of a cultural conversation? One question I asked them was, if you're just reflecting back to the community what the community wants, why don't you just show like the latest action film? What is it that still makes you a library? And Valerie Wonder, the person who organizes the events there, said, well, we wouldn't just show any old action film. But for example, when Robin Williams died, one of the library branches had a mini Robin Williams festival, you know. When it's part of the cultural conversation, they want to provide that experience for people.
In this egalitarian ethic here, is there going to be a place for Patriots fans in the library, do you think?
I'm sure they would be welcome to. I think I saw a couple of people there that looked a little bit more reticent. And when I talked to them, they were like, oh, yeah, I cheer for this other team or something like that. But this is part about building community and drawing in people who aren't necessarily already part of that conversation. Myself, I'm more of an NPR type person. It took me a while to sort of understand the relevance of the conversation about football as being important, about being community building. And these people who may be out there, you know, just trying to check out a book, get drawn into that. They hear the sort of rumble of the game beneath their feet as they're going to, you know, look through some random book upstairs, and they kind of come down and check it out, and they say, wait a minute, maybe this is important.
Well, as a public radio guy, are the sound systems good?
Yeah, they were great. They were great.
Joshua McNichols, reporter for KUOW in Seattle. Have a great weekend.
Okay, thank you. You too.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.